For the remainder of the show today, we begin a four-part series, a weekly series with Pastor Peter Bender on the Apostles' Creed. Today we begin where the Creed begins. I believe in God, the Father, maker of heaven and earth. Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, and director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Pastor Bender, welcome back.
Hi, Todd. Great to be with you again. It's been a long time, but I know that had nothing to do with you.
Well, I wanted to thank you, by the way, Pastor Bender, because you were the very first person that called me after our show was canceled. You called me. I was standing in my daughter's room trying to take stock of what had happened at the cancellation of the show before, and you called very compassionately, very pastorally, and really set the entire next couple of months for me off on the right foot. I have to thank you for that.
Well, you're welcome, and though we haven't spoken since, you've been in my prayers, and my prayers have been answered.
Thank you very much. You can join us as we talk about the Apostles' Creed, beginning with God the Father, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or email us talkback@issuesetc.org. Why do we even need creeds after all? We've got the Bible, don't we, Pastor Bender?
Sure, we have the Scriptures, and St. Paul talks in 1 Corinthians 15 about the church receiving the gospel according to the Scriptures, and when he says, I delivered to you that which I also received, and that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was risen from the dead according to the Scriptures. And what he expresses there is plays itself out in the life of the early church, where the baptized catechumens in preparation for baptism were catechized in these chief articles, which Paul kind of outlines there, and which are found in the Gospels. And from the first century forward, all the candidates coming forward for baptism were expected to confess that Jesus is Lord, that he's the Son of the Father, that he was incarnate of the Virgin Mary, that he suffered under Pontius Pilate, that he rose again from the dead, and that there's forgiveness of sins through his blood shed as a free gift of God's grace. So baptismal questions were asked, do you believe in God the Father? Do you believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord? Do you believe in the Holy Spirit? And this is kind of a rule or standard of faith, and you see it in the book of Acts when Philip finds the Ethiopian eunuch, and he's reading from Isaiah the prophet, and then Philip catechizes him, and then he says, what prevents me from being baptized, and do you believe in Jesus Christ? And then he is baptized. And that kind of formula of expecting a confession of faith, and a confession of faith that is shared in common, was something that actually bound together the early church in a time when they didn't have the kind of communication we have today, in a remarkable and miraculous way. And I think it really goes back to Jesus then, who called for that kind of a confession from the apostles, as we find it in Matthew 16. Who do you say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God, Peter confessed. And then Jesus commended that confession and said that the church rests upon that confession. Really, the Apostles' Creed becomes based entirely upon that confession of Peter, the confession that Jesus is Lord, recorded in the Gospels.
With only about 30 seconds before we take our first break, when we say Apostles' Creed, which is kind of the default title for this thing, are
right.
we making some claim as to a direct authorship on the part of any or all of the apostles?
Well, there was some medieval thinking that the 12 apostles each contributed a phrase or a line, and that's certainly mythology. But it's properly named because every word and every phrase of the Apostles' Creed, which is the much simpler creed compared to the Nicene Creed, every word and phrase comes from the Scriptures, and particularly from the New Testament. And so when we call it the Apostles' Creed, we're speaking in the same way that Paul was doing. That's why I began with that 1 Corinthians passage, chapter 15, that it's according to the Scriptures. Who is God? He is Father. according to the apostolic scriptures that record the words of Jesus that speak of him in that way.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. We're beginning a weekly series, four parts. Part one today, God the Father on the Apostles' Creed. Pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. When we come back, is the term Father just an analogy, a metaphor? We'll be right back.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
On behalf of the staff of Issues, Etc., thanks to each and every one of the more than 7,600 who signed the online petition to bring back Issues, Etc. Donna Hull, Shirley Coombe, Megan Davis, Paul Bile, Dean Butch, Madeline Carson, Gerald Paul, Savannah Wadsworth, Kristen, and Emmy Wadsworth. Thanks for your support.
Suffering and death. Now, how do we answer?
Answers with Ken Ham, co-author of the new book on racism entitled Darwin's Plantation, Evolution's Racist Roots.
If there's an all-powerful and loving God in this world, why is there so much excruciating pain and unspeakable suffering? You know, that's the very first sentence of a new book called God's Problem. The author, trained at a well-known Bible institute, earned his doctorate in New Testament from Princeton, but he eventually gave up Christianity. You know why? It was over the question, if the world is controlled by God, why is there so much suffering? See, during his study of evil, he drifted away from his evangelical upbringing. The man turned to a liberal church and became an agnostic. He wondered, for example, why are there tsunamis and so much starvation in the world? Now, when you understand that these things happen because we live in a cursed, fallen world, as Genesis records, we should expect bad things to happen. Isn't it a shame that in all his Bible training it didn't include a thorough study of Genesis, where we would have found why God allows death and suffering? We need to proclaim this answer so that others won't turn their backs on God.
Ken Ham has written a lot on this topic, and it's summarized in a witnessing booklet on why God allows death and suffering. We'll send 10 of them to you for a donation of any amount today. Find out more about Ken's booklet on death and suffering by going to our website, answersoffer.org, or call us toll-free 24 hours a day at 1-888-89-ANSWERS.
You know, the Creed says, I believe in God the Father. It doesn't say, I believe in God who is like a father, who reminds me of a father, or who has presented himself something like a father. It's a pretty bold statement, I believe in God the Father. And of course, the Creed is only following Scripture's lead when the Creed continually refers to God as the Father. Christ's lead when he talks about God being the Father. Really, we've got to sort out some of the issues surrounding the Trinity before we can delve any deeper into the Apostles' Creed. It's part one of a four-part weekly series with Pastor Peter Bender on the Apostles' Creed here on Issues, Etc. We're coming to you live this Monday, September the 8th. You can join us with questions or comments. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-MYIE, or talkback at issuesetc.org. Pastor Bender, when we say the Father, are we speaking metaphorically? And as an analogy, kind of like a parable or figure of speech?
A lot of people would like to think so, particularly those who have an agenda that sets aside divine revelation. But we Christians identify the true God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God in three persons, from the words of Jesus himself. At the end of Matthew's gospel, these are primary words. He says, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all things that I've commanded you, which is rooted in that baptismal formula and the divine name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that Jesus revealed to us. And when Paul speaks of the gospel according to the apostolic scriptures, You know, he has these kinds of texts in mind. The gospel writers record for us the words and the works of Jesus, and Jesus reveals who he is. And he's constantly in his prayers and in his speaking about the first person of the Trinity, calling him Father. Not like a father, but Father. You know, in the Garden of Gethsemane, for example, "Oh, my Father." You know, that's he's not speaking to, he's not using a metaphor to speak to his Father. You have it in the Sermon on the Mount. I'm staying in Matthew's gospel because it's the first gospel, and you have a consistency from beginning to end in that gospel. So in the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching on the Lord's Prayer, when you pray, say, "Our Father," so Jesus identifies that the first person of the Trinity is not only his Father, that he is begotten of him from eternity, but also for us Christians, he is our Father, and we have the source of our life in God.
Okay, give us a primer on the Trinity so that we can avoid any unnecessary pitfalls or diversions as we walk through this Trinitarian Creed, the Apostles' Creed. What should we know, and what should we avoid thinking with regard to the Trinity?
Sure. It would be great if we had several hours to just survey a whole battery of texts throughout the New Testament in particular. But when we speak of God as Father, that's how he reveals himself to us. He is the source of the divine nature. There is one God in three persons. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. And the Father is the source of the divine nature. In 1 John, the Son is called the only begotten of the Father. That means from eternity, it's this unique, one-of-a-kind sharing of the Father's essence with the Son. And it's an eternal relationship. And by that I mean, you know, I have four sons. One could say they are begotten of me, but there is a that is a finite relationship. There's a point in time where I did not have those sons. And there was a point in time when I didn't exist and my Father did not have me as his son. Not so with the Trinity. The Son is the eternal Son of the Father. Now, that blows our mind, but that's how the Scriptures speak of him. And that's how Jesus speaks of himself. And the Holy Spirit, particularly in John's Gospel, you see this. He is the third person of the Holy Trinity who proceeds from the Father and the Son. And as we say in the Nicene Creed, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified. And I think it's important to understand the nature of God. What I tell my catechumens is, what makes God tick? Here again, the Apostle John is helpful when he says God is love in his first epistle. And John refers to himself as the disciple whom Jesus loved, kind of an autobiographical statement of how comforting the gospel of God's free grace and love in Christ was to John, the object of God's love. And he wants us to have that same view. But God is love. It's love that makes him tick. What kind of love? Not the self-centered, egocentric love that characterizes fallen humanity, but the totally self-giving love, which created all things, as the old Latin phrase the dogmaticians would use, ex nihilo, out of nothing. And so when God the Father creates by his word the eternal Son, as the Holy Spirit hovers over the surface of the waters of creation, he does so for love's sake. Not because he wishes to have praise heaped upon himself, but to give of himself to us. And that nature of God is why it's so important to confess what the Scriptures teach concerning the Holy Trinity, and it's important in helping us understand ourselves as human beings made in the image of God. And so God the Father in love creates, and he wishes for us to continue that in the procreation of children. And God the Father has a benevolent, gracious dominion, and he wishes for mankind to continue that. And so he has says, have dominion over the creation. So our discussion of God as triune and three persons, this community of loving persons, eternal persons, is very significant in helping us understand our own humanity. And I think the Apostles' Creed really does that, as it proclaims God the Father as our Creator and the Son as our Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit, that Spirit of love who proceeds from the Father and then calls us into a communion with Him.
To clarify here, Pastor Bender, you had talked just a second ago about the relationship between Father and Son.
Right.
And this is one that the other creeds, the longer creeds, are at pains to delineate in very exact terms. You talked about being eternally begotten, and you said it's a bit of a mind bender. What did you mean, eternally begotten?
Yeah, no pun intended, huh? Mind bender coming from me. But well, what I had in mind was this. You know, some what I'm kind of speaking toward is some people's conclusion that, well, if Jesus is the Son of the Father, God the Father, then Jesus can't really be also called God because he's the Father's Son. And what I tell people is, well, my sons are begotten of me. Does that make them any less human? Well, certainly not. They're as fully human in every respect as I am.
In fact, they're only human in that respect, that they are begotten of a human being.
Exactly. And so also, now, but here with the Son of the Father, you've got an eternal begetting. And so Jesus speaks of himself as revealing the Father. He can't do anything else but reveal the Father because he is eternally begotten of the Father. And therefore, fully divine and fully sharing in the Father's divine essence, the Father's divine life.
Okay, there's a term in there, with only about a minute here before our break, there's a term in there, in Latin it's something like omnipotentum or something. It's almighty is the translation we usually use, or we could say omnipotent, just to kind of transliterate the old Latin there. What are the original confessors of this creed attempting to say of God the Father by calling him almighty?
Well, there are two things. Wanting to reflect what the scriptures teach. That's always first and foremost in the creeds. The creeds are echoing to the world what God has revealed to us by the prophetic and apostolic scriptures. So that's first and foremost. But in the ancient world, particularly the Greco-Roman world, there was not this belief in one God. They were very polytheistic. And there was not the belief in one God who is the creator and the source of all things. I mentioned that Latin phrase, ex nihilo, creatio ex nihilo, creation out of nothing. That we confess that God the Father is almighty, and that he has created all things out of nothing, then means that we are completely and utterly dependent upon him for everything in our existence, for life, health, salvation, for all things. And that makes the proper relationship between the creature and the creator.
Pastor Peter Bender is our guest. When we come back, 10 more minutes with him. Part one of our four-part weekly series on the Apostles' Creed today, God the Father. Pastor Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. You can join us. This break is a great time to call as we come to you live this Monday, September the 8th, 1-877-623-MYIE, or email us, talkback@issuesetc.org.
We call devotional time in the Schwarz household Jesus time. We use a hymnal, a Bible, the catechism, and a book of prayers. I've always wanted a devotional book with all of these resources. Well, it's coming this fall. It's called Treasury of Daily Prayer. Find out about it on our homepage, issuesetc.org, or by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. a family-friendly devotional resource, Treasury of Daily Prayer. Here's an easy way for you to publicize Issues Etc. at your church. Go to the promote page of our website, issuesetc.org, and you'll find a short paragraph to include in your weekly church bulletin. Help inform your fellow parishioners about Issues Etc. issuesetc.org, click promote, and copy and paste the text for your church secretary or pastor to include each week in the Sunday bulletin. We update this paragraph weekly. issuesetc.org.
Grace, faith, scripture, and Christ alone. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Did you know that you can listen to Issues Etc. 24/7? Check out our website, issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio. Listen at the gym, in your kitchen, in your garden, on your iPod, your computer, or in your car. The technology may be new, but the truth never changes. Issues Etc. on-demand audio, available for your convenience at issuesetc.org. 10 hours of new programming each week. issuesetc.org, and click on-demand audio.
If you're interested in hanging around with a bunch of powerful men that further one another's careers, I guess you could meet Fred and Barney down at the Loyal Order of Water Buffalo. Stress is your problem, and those 40, 50 hours a week are killing you, and that cubicle's driving you nuts. Perhaps you should buy Joel Osteen's book and read it. If you're interested in Lutheran doctrine and practice and how we can spread that to our community, check us out, Brothers of John the Steadfast, www.steadfastlutherans.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talking with Pastor Peter Bender, part one of our four-part series on God the Father. As we talk about the Apostles' Creed, I want to make you aware of some great resources that we have on the Apostles' Creed posted under the demand on-demand page of our website, issuesetc.org. Go to issuesetc.org, click on demand. You'll find those resources for further study right there. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-MY-IE, or talk back at issuesetc.org. All right, this is very short. It is, I believe in God the Father, creator of heaven and earth. Now, you've made the point several times, this ex nihilo, this is out of nothing. God makes everything that there is. This sounds to me like it is simply the shortest summary that we could find of the first two chapters of the book of Genesis on creation, of a kind of take it at face value, six-day creation confession of faith.
Well, that's right. And since the scriptures reveal this God who is the creator of all things out of nothing, and he is almighty and all-powerful, but most importantly, the God of love, then, Todd, you and I have nothing to worry about. The first commandment, God says, you shall have no other gods. This is the God who's speaking there. He says that not because he craves attention, but for our good. And he wishes and desires only our good for us in selfless sacrificial love. And Luther picks this up so well in his little explanation to that short line of the first article of the Creed when he says, I believe that God has made me and all creatures, that he has given me my body, soul, eyes, ears, and all my members, my reason and all my senses, and still takes care of them. This idea that God not only created every member of my body, as the psalmist says, you know, he's knit me together in my mother's womb, but this idea, it's very central to the ancient church's understanding that he still takes care of me. The fact that I can get up every morning and breathe, that I can eat, that I can sit up and take nourishment, and that I can go to work, and that I can love someone else in service to my neighbor in the created order, whether they're Christian or not, is a reflection of the fact that I'm made by God the Father, and what he has done for me, I continue to do. And so he continues to sustain each one of us, whether we recognize his sustaining hand or not. And then Luther goes on in his explanation. He's also giving me clothing and shoes and food and drink and house and home and wife and children and land and animals and all I have. And he richly and daily provides me with all that I need to support this body and life. And this idea of God's daily care, we tend to be think in our world today that all of this that I have, well, it's of my own doing. What has God done for me lately? Well, the fact that we're able to work, that we have skills, that we have a brain, that we're able to be educated and make use of these things, these are all gifts of God and masks through which God the Father continues his creation. And then finally, Luther concludes his wonderful, very intimate explanation to the first article by saying, "He defends me against all danger and guards and protects me from all evil." And then this wonderful statement that speaks of God's grace, or as I've been saying, God's nature of selfless love. All this he does for me and for everyone else, whether they believe in him or not, all this he does only out of fatherly divine goodness and mercy, without any merit or worthiness in me. And see, that ties together all three articles of the Creed, the concept of God's grace, which we see, of course, revealed most clearly in our Lord's sacrifice upon the cross.
Can we rightly understand these simple words, this simple sentence, "I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth," unless we view it through the lens of the ultimate revelation of this Father through his Son, Jesus Christ, in his death and resurrection?
I don't think we can. And the New Testament speaks about Jesus declaring God to us. So we understand, actually, the fatherhood of God by what we see in Jesus. When he calls to repentance, he does so. He does so like a father who, yes, may discipline his children, but ultimately does so out of love, to call them to repentance, that he might forgive, and that he might bestow his blessing, and that we might learn to trust in him. And so Jesus would say, "He who has seen me has seen the Father." As the writer to the Hebrews says, he is the express image of the Father. And it's the image of the Father, the God of love. And Jesus is the express image, the eternal image of God the Father. So, and it is precisely because the Son of God became man, took on human flesh, that we are able to see God the Father touching us in our flesh with all of our problems and needs as the God who loves us. And unlike all of the other deities out there, all of the other idols whom sinful man has to climb up to and make themselves worthy of, this God comes down from heaven to us. The Father gives of himself in his dearest treasure, his only begotten Son. And the Son, first out of love for the Father, and then out of love for us, willingly takes on the Father's mission to redeem his fallen creation, and fallen man especially. So this concept of grace and understanding God and his nature through the Son and who the Father really is in what Jesus has done, is a wonderful testament in the New Testament.
The one word, or in English we would translate it as two words, but in the original of this creed it is but one word that we haven't dealt with yet, and I'd like you to deal with here in the end with about 2 minutes or less, is that word credo, that word I believe. What
right.
does this mean? What does it not mean? 2 minutes before we wrap up.
Sure. Well, let's go back to the confession that Peter made in Matthew 16. Jesus called for that confession. "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." He made a confession of faith. And when you read that there, you see, boy, this is Peter's confession. He absolutely believes it with his whole heart. And then Jesus says, "Blessed are you, Peter." That confession of faith is a blessing from God. "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." And the Father revealed it through what Peter learned from Jesus' own preaching and teaching. So on the one hand, when we say, "I believe," we're talking about what my faith is. But it's the faith, actually, that you and I share together, Todd, and Jeff and you and I share together, and all Christians share the same confession of faith. On the one hand, it's mine personally. On the other hand, it came from God, revealed to us in the Scriptures, proclaimed to us, and we were called to faith in it by the gospel. And so it comes from God that it might be our own.
Pastor Bender, next Monday we're going to discuss the second part of the Apostles' Creed on God the Son with only about 20 seconds. What kind of issues will we be discussing then?
Well, I really think the Apostles' Creed second article is so out of date for our thinking in the 21st century, but that's good. So if you go through that second article, it's all the stuff that Jesus did. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate. There's not a lot of emotional feeling, sentiment in that second article. It's the facts of who Jesus is and what Jesus did, just as Paul said, according to the Scriptures. And our salvation is bound up in that stuff that Jesus did.
Pastor Peter Bender is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Sussex, Wisconsin, director of the Concordia Catechetical Academy. Tonight, when you go to our website, issuesetc.org, click the on-demand section. You'll find more about the great work being done by Pastor Peter Bender at the Concordia Catechetical Academy, issuesetc.org. Peter, thank you for being our guest.
Thanks, Todd. It's a delight always.
Tomorrow on the program, we're going to find out what Dr. Frank Beckwith has to say about abortion statements made yesterday by vice presidential candidate Senator Joe Biden on Meet the Press. He says he's an intensely, deeply religious man, and he believes that life begins at conception, along with his church, but he does not, would not, and cannot impose that religious view on anyone else, not as a senator, not as vice president. We'll see what Frank Beckwith has to say about it tomorrow on the program. We have a Father. Now remember, He is our Father through the Son. He made us, and in our rebellion, we rejected Him as our true Creator and Father. We wanted to be God ourselves. And to restore us His children, to bring us again to Himself, to the Father, He sent the only one who could, Jesus Christ the Son, taking on our human flesh and our sin in sacrifice for us all, and has brought us back through the Son to the Father. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 1046, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. Box 1046, SJC, California, 92693. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.